Comic Timing
is a proud member
of the Comics Podcast Network.
Bitch.
Print it.
Welcome to episode 126 of Comic Timing, the comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassino, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levinson, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. This week, Brent is yet again in France, while Daryl joins us to talk about New York Comic Con, mostly about the news, but a little bit about our experiences at the con. And, of course, random segues. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levinson, and welcome to episode 126 of Comic Timing. And once again, out of the country, but talking to us on his laptop microphone, Mr. Brent Cassina, eating his baguette.
Actually, I just finished my baguette.
Oh, yeah? Was it delish?
Twas delish.
Oui, oui, oui. En français. Okay, I got that out of my way. I don't have to do that anymore this episode. I promise. I don't promise. joining us as well, Daryl.
Hello.
Yo-yo. How's stuff?
It's good. I'm recovering.
Yeah, same here. I actually feel rested for the first time in about 3 days after New York Comic Con. And I've actually been getting decent sleep, because, you know, that's the unemployed life, but still, took me at least 3 days to feel like I'm alive again.
Well, I tried to go right back to work, so I should not have. And I made it to Tuesday before I said I have to go home.
I'm suffering from the itis.
I can't do it now. I feel like I have the cold coming. I can feel it.
Oh, boy. Concrud.
Yeah. Good old Concrud. I love it. I love it.
Oh, yeah. And this episode of Comic Timing is sponsored, as always, by DCBS. DCBService.com, discount comic book service, or whatever combination of the letters DCBS you decide to call it. And this month, our review corner picks are as follows. We will start with DC as a book that's part of the New 52, but isn't one of the 52 books. This one is a miniseries. It's a four-issue miniseries. Of course, if you buy it, there might be a chance of it being more than just four issues. And this one is Ray number one. And it's not about the founder of Ray's Pizza. It's actually a new character called the Ray. You might be familiar with the previous Rays in the DC universe, but this one is a brand spanking new Ray named Lucian Gates. And this book is drawn by our favorite dude, Jamal Igle, and two other really cool dudes are writing it, Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray. They've worked on the Ray before, both with their Freedom Fighter stuff and in other books here and there, so that's pretty cool. And this book is 50% off for $149, regular price of $299. I would definitely check it out if I were you. This one should be a lot of fun, and of course the art is going to be gorgeous because it's done by Jamal, and he does not know how to draw ugly things unless they're supposed to be ugly. In that case, you know, he can do gruesome on occasion. Also, in the Marvel world, we have Defenders, number one. This one is going out of the events of Fear Itself, and the Defenders, at least according to the cover to issue one, are going to be Doc Strange, Red She-Hulk, Iron Fist, Namor, and the Silver Surfer. So let's see if that is actually the group that's going to wind up coming out of this, as it wouldn't be the first time that there's been a group on a cover, and then that's not actually who we read in the book itself. But this one is written by Matt Fraction, who wrote Fear Itself, and if it's Iron Man and Mighty Thor, and Terry Dotson from Uncanny X-Men. So this is actually a reuniting here, because they both worked together on Uncanny X-Men before. Regular price of $3.99. You can get it for $1.99 on DCBS. That's 50% off. And over in the Independents, we have an IDW pick this month that looks like it should be a lot of fun. This book has a name behind it. That's kind of the reason that I picked it, because, you know, this dude has had good work before, so maybe this time will actually be a book that Brent likes. You know, I hate that I really need to preface that, because when it comes to most of the indie books that I wind up picking, Brent doesn't wind up liking them in the end. But maybe this will be different here. Let's see. It's a New York Times best-selling author that you might be familiar with. Chris Robertson. All right. Yeah. He's also the creator of iZombie. So that's why I chose it, because I know iZombie has a lot of fans out there, and maybe this will be just about as good. And the art is done by Rich Ellis, and covers by Michael W. M. Kaluta. So Michael Kaluta. Haven't seen him in a while. This one, 50% off for $1.99. And the plot of the story, just so you know, Memorial is the story of M, a young woman who arrives at a hospital in Portland, Oregon, with no memory of her past. A year later, she has rebuilt her life, only to find her existence thrown into turmoil after she inherits a magical shop. The kind that appears in an alley one instance and disappears the next. So that's Memorial for you. And this one's going to be a 6-issue miniseries. This is issue one, because, you know, we always love getting those issue ones and then seeing if we like it enough to pick up more. So Chris Robertson and Rich Ellis on Memorial, 50% off for $1.99. Make sure to use the promo code of CT8 when you check out to get an additional 8% off on your first order with Discount Comic Book Service. DCBService.com, they are amazing. And be sure to order your digital comics via their digital store, because if you do that, you will get an additional discount on your order with DCBS. They will give you a 5% discount off of the amount you spent on Comixology towards your next order. So that's pretty damn cool. DCBService.com, go ahead and check them out.
So we'll talk a little bit about the con itself, and mainly about the news that came out of New York Comic Con, because I already did a basic wrap-up of New York Comic Con with Sean Pryor on the PKD Media Black Box.
You mean
yesterday.
Arsenio?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, Arsenio! And Donnie Salvo, I guess, is his Ed McMahon to cross shows. But, yeah, no, I did that yesterday, and that should be out hopefully by the end of the week on Sean Pryor's feed. So,
cool.
New York Comic Con came and went. Did anything actually come out of this news-wise? Brent, you're the outsider. What do you think?
I read all the news while I was traveling or, like, when I got back, and nothing really, like, stood out as far as, like, you know, huge major news-wise. And I felt the same way with San Diego, too, because, like, we had the big DC news in June, and, you know, rather than have them announce it at San Diego or really have something to talk about, it was almost like this time in San Diego, they're still like, yeah, so, you know, we're so early on into stuff, we can't tell you anything, but, you know, we're still going to have panels and see how you like stuff and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of a snort news-wise for DC. And then, you know, Marvel, I really don't care about another Avengers book with Bendis and Bagley.
The Amazing Adventures of Bagless and Bendy.
Oh, no.
So, you know, other than that, I really don't think there was, like, anything, you know, big news-wise, at least from those two companies, comics-wise. So.
Well, do you think this is a trend? I mean, do you feel like they're announcing all their news in their own press releases as opposed to what Gansi's is? Yeah, well, I do think we'll get there eventually, but, I mean, we've talked about this, you know, time and time again, that it's going to take some changes, both with Apple and with Marvel and DC, to actually get those prices lower, because, you know, when Apple's taking 50% of the cut, it's hard to cut the prices of digital, because then they're making like two cents an issue.
Right.
Well, it doesn't help that Marvel kind of has a set thing where they put out enough books and they keep them at enough books at $4 that they win you know, every month. Mm-hmm. Even with the number ones for 52, they didn't really get beat that badly.
Right.
Because they know that if they keep putting out enough books, which they basically said from the news, they're going to keep doing those point ones. So that means that point one is pretty much their way of shipping 2 to 3 issues of the same title in 1 month.
Right.
Which forces the comic retailer to have to order more. So when you do the sales for that month, it works out for them better.
Yeah, no, I see that. And they've been doing a crap load of that lately. I mean, even mm-hmm. even with non-point ones, I remember that there were 2 issues of X-Factor coming out in a month. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got Amazing Spider-Man coming out at least twice a month, sometimes 3 times when they feel like it. It is a way to squeeze as much money as possible out of the readers. And, you know, us readers are enough suckers where we'll go ahead and do it.
Yeah, because you don't want to be the guy that didn't order, the store that didn't order that point one for a book that is kind of popular.
Right, right. But so, the point ones don't sell nearly as well, though.
No, but they still sell enough that usually people that are already buying the book will just continue to get the point one mm-hmm. just because it's in their regular, you know, stack anyway.
Right. No, I get you. I get you. Yeah, Brent, have you given up on the point ones yet, or are you still ordering them?
I'm still ordering them. Like, the Bendis ones are crucial to the story, apparently, and they, mm-hmm. those have been pretty worthwhile, but like, I mean, the you know, the first wave of the point ones, none of the other ones were really crucial, I thought.
Right. Yeah. Well,
so it'll be interesting to see that, you know, now we're having a next wave of point ones, but like, it looks like some books are getting another point one even though they've already had one.
Yeah.
So it's no longer the official, like, jumping on point. It's just another way to put out another issue.
Yeah.
Why not just call it number 18 or 19 or something?
Well, that would make sense. And I don't know, like, when Marvel jumps on an initiative, I think they like to milk it for whatever they can do. Mm-hmm. And that's what this point one thing is here. I mean, probably the biggest news out of New York Comic Con was the straight up point one issue that mm-hmm. is going to be coming out. I know that I ordered it when it was solicited, but I know a lot of people didn't. And they're saying that this is going to be the, I guess, sort of the change of things to come for Marvel. You know, I mean, this is where they're going to premiere the new Age of Apocalypse stuff.
Phoenix coming back,
and Scarlet Spider is going to premiere in this.
Galactus.
So a whole bunch of stories from a whole bunch of creators are going to be in this point one here, and you know, it makes you wonder exactly what's gonna happen out of this, and whether it's actually going to be worth it. Because I mean, they're doubling the orders of point one for every shop that ordered it. They want you to give this away. Like, this is basically the issue zero for Blackest Night that DC did.
Right.
Yeah. It's just whether or not this is actually going to mean anything in the end, you know, we'll have to read it to find out, I guess.
Well, they have to do something to get that, you know, to get that buzz and to get that attention away from DC right now. They have to do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but is this going to do it?
They're going to throw it up at the. They're going to throw enough things at the wall, which is what they do, to make it work. I mean, whether or not it's going to work, we don't know. But right now, it does work for them in terms of doing stuff like this. This type of promotion does help them. I mean, even with all these 52 books, and most of them are $2.99, look at the sales. They barely, like, you know, really hit them hard in terms of getting the sales from Marvel.
Oh yeah, no, and I guarantee you by issue 3, and that's why, like, everybody's all like, oh yeah, DC beat Marvel this month. That's really mm-hmm. important. It's like, yeah, well, let's see what happens by issue 3.
Right. So I mean, and Marvel's just not built that way to want to actually beat them heavy. Marvel, I mean, DC just wants to maintain and at least get those middle tier books up to a certain point. If they can get middle tier books to stay at least 30,000, mm-hmm. that's a gift for them, you know, if they could do that. But Marvel, they need the, you know, they need to hit, you know, they need to keep, you know, going with the, they need the rock star money. So they have to keep constantly saying, look at us, look at us, look at us, look at us, because we got stuff.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. And Brent, obviously, the two of us are 90s kids. So of course, we're picking up Scarlet Spider-Man. Yeah, what?
Right.
Yeah.
About that.
I might pick it up just to see who the hell it is, but I don't know, man.
It's Miles Morales.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, really?
It's going to be another black guy.
It'll be Robertson's kid.
There you go.
Yeah.
See?
Could be.
That'll work.
Yeah, maybe. Well, let's talk DC for a little bit and what they did over at New York Comic Con. This is the first time that that they really split up their panels, because, you know, before this they'd have a DC Nation panel, and then they do maybe like a straight up DC Universe panel, and then the Sunday one would be the wrap up. And mm-hmm. this time they split all their lines. I think by doing that, it kind of made people care a little bit less about these panels. At least that was the general consensus that I seemed to find both online and on the floor. Like, I would go to a DC Nation panel because I'd be able to get everything in one burst. You know, I'd get all the news that I needed right there, bam, 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 and I wouldn't have to go to four or five panels to figure everything out. Now, by splitting it up, by having, you know, DC Justice League, having DC Dark, and having DC Superman and DC Batman, it makes me have to go to that many more panels to actually know what the hell's going on.
Well, the bad thing with the panels last year and the complaint was that a lot of people couldn't get into panels because they, you know, the amount of panels that they had, everybody packed into certain panels, so you couldn't get in. And I think that they did that. I think they broke up and had a lot, because a lot of comics had a lot of panels. You know, they had a lot. They were. It seemed like more people had to run to a, you know, like artists and writers had to run to panels more than any other year that I've been to New York Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they did that to kind of spread the crowd. You know, like you had to make a choice. Either I want to go to the Superman panel, or I want to go to the DC Dark panel. You know, like it just can't be that one whole thing anymore.
Right. Well, Brent, what about you? I mean, when you go to a con, do you want it all in one package, or do you care if it's really split up?
I would think the all-in-one, because it just depends on how you really want to spend your day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If you have, you know, a bunch of people you're going to go and reach today, or, you know, and talk to and stuff like that, then, yeah, one and done would be great. But if you're just there to experience and walk around, maybe do a little shopping, but really you're there for panels, then, you know, by all means, go and, you know, split them up.
Right. Yeah. And the announcements that they were working off of for New York Comic Con were really, I kind of like sort of barely even announcements. Like, yeah, Superman Earth 1, JMS and Shane Davis is coming in 2012. We knew that already.
Yeah.
You know?
Basically.
Yeah.
And Batman Earth 1.
So is Batman Earth 1, right. Well, Batman Earth 1 will be out like right after All-Star Batman and Robin finishes, it feels like.
That cover for Superman Earth 1 is actually a lot better than the Batman Earth 1 cover.
I agree with that.
They revealed a while ago.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that, yeah.
I think they shot their load, though. I think a lot of, you know, DC kind of took, they gambled and they had to do everything early. Mm-hmm. You know, let a lot of information out early so that, you know, just to get the buzz before the con. And so they really don't have anything to talk about because they did that with San Diego.
Right.
You know, all they could do now is just now ask us questions and we can tell you what we can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. But there's really nothing new that they can reveal right now.
Here's another question I have for you. Superman Earth 1, Batman Earth 1, and Brent and I talked about this a little bit on the last episode. Do these matter anymore? Because I thought the whole point of the Earth 1 things were to have sort of a restart for the characters and have people, you know, go ahead and grab them. But isn't that what the New 52 is supposed to be doing in the first place?
Yeah, well, I think they sell enough,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of the creative team behind it. They sell enough that they still said, let's go ahead and do it anyway.
They get bookstore sales, too.
Right. If it was a lesser-known creative team on the book, I think they would have just scrapped the whole thing
mm-hmm.
and just had it, you know, just let's just do an annual with the characters we have in the 52 and leave it like that.
Yeah. But I guess considering that this is what JMS is doing now, Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell him, yeah, we'll see you later.
Yeah, he still has a name in the book community, mm-hmm. enough that people know that he's working on something.
Yeah.
They're going to buy it. I mean, they're going to actually look for it if they see his name on it.
I'll say this, though. I'm probably not going to buy Batman Earth 1, at least not right away. I'm going to wait for that thing to be discounted to out the wazoo to buy it, because I got enough Batman in my life. I don't need Batman Earth 1.
If it's $10, I'll get it. But what I'm really not considering buying right away is that Batman Noel hardcover. I'm gonna wait for the reviews on that one.
Yeah. Which one is it? Which one is that? What's the creative?
That's the Liebermejo written and drawn.
Oh yeah. Right. Okay. Got
it. It's in the back of every DC book that came out, I think, the last week.
Okay.
And I don't know. The art is beautiful, and I would get it just for the art, but mm-hmm. I kind of don't really care for the holiday specials. They kind of just feel like they were just done just because it was a holiday.
Right.
And it doesn't contribute anything to the continuity, so either you just get it for the beautiful art and call it a day.
Well, it depends on which holiday special, okay? Because that Lars Fleece Christmas special was amazing. Mm-hmm.
Well, that character fits. He so fits that... You know, Christmas, he's such the antithesis of what Christmas is that it makes perfect sense to use him for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that and I'm considering making the cookies this year for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That should be good stuff. Did you guys watch the Green Lantern animated series, 2 minutes, that wound up online?
I wasn't able to find a working link.
I didn't find it yet.
Okay, because it is up and running on Bleeding Cool's link. It's one of those automatic starts. Maybe that's why it didn't work for you guys. But I watched it. I watched that as well as the 6 minutes that the Cartoon Network put out about 2 or 3 months back.
Right.
It looks all right. I'm just, I don't know. I'm a little bit trepidatious about the whole thing because, when Chris and I were watching it last night, both of us sort of agreed that it looks like they're trying to do a traditional animation style in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, some of the character designs are a little bit more simplified than they really should be for 3D.
So, yeah. So some of that, like you just that little promo they put up about the Batman cartoon is coming up. Mm-hmm. That's probably going to replace the Brave and the Bold since it's ending.
Right.
I don't know. It just had that, like, they tried to make it so anime style.
Mm-hmm.
That it just does not even, I don't know, it just doesn't even look right to me.
Well, so is the Batman.
Yeah.
There are a lot of fans of the Batman out there. I mean, I'm not one of them per se, but I understand what it was, and you know, I'm glad that that some people got to enjoy it, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, maybe this is just, I guess, the direction that they feel that they need to be going with this stuff.
Yeah, I guess so, which is funny because pretty much DC dominates the animation,
mm-hmm.
in terms of between Marvel and DC. DC usually, you know, they pretty much have a running thing. Like, once they start it, they get the thing done, promotion, and then the DVD is out.
Right.
You know, and Marvel had to struggle a little bit to kind of find their way and how they wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, now it looks like they're really trying to experiment with the different types of animation, so some are gonna like it. Like, some kids are going to love it because they like that style. Some of us old heads like me are gonna look at it and go, I don't know if that's for me. That's just the way it is. But they do, as long as they do enough of the other stuff, like the Batman Year One, the upcoming Batman adaptation of the Tower of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
That's for me. Tower of Babel. That's stuff that I'll automatically buy because that's stuff I like.
Okay. Although now I'm totally imagining a Babylon 5 Justice League crossover right now.
Just see it.
Talking about Batman Year One, that was terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I downloaded it so I could watch it while I was on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really boring.
Ah, that sucks.
Oh,
better
in
the book.
I like, well, what I've seen so far of it, I liked it. I thought it worked for the character, but it is a slow, I mean, it's pretty much him, you know, learning how to be Batman.
Right. Well, I'm waiting for Netflix on this one, and Netflix isn't going to get it for a few more weeks, so I'll let you guys know what I think about it once I watch it. But
okay. Wait, you mean Quickster?
No.
Is that the Quickster thing I've heard about?
They do it online. they pretty much go to streaming.
Yeah, well, that's that, and what, you didn't hear Quickster's bye-bye?
Yeah, no more Quickster.
They should just combine the two names, you know?
I think Netflix should ask their customers what they should do before they do anything, because it, you know, it's turned out really bad for them.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. I totally agree. You hear that, Netflix? You hear that, you idiots?
Well, they can't force people to go to streaming, and you don't have all the movies on streaming. That was just a stupid premise to do that anyway. That's like going, all right, we're only going to do online comics, but... Mm-hmm. We don't have all the comics that come out during the week online. There's only a few that
right.
you can get digitally.
Yeah.
So you're just asked out. You just have to pay a whole nother thing for the same, you know, for another book.
Right. Like, yeah, we're switching entirely to digital, but we won't have Batman. Sorry.
Right. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the... Are you looking forward at all to the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, every time it comes out, I always watch whatever, because it feels like they have stopped and started a Spider-Man cartoon every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at least this time I know that they're going to stick with it for the most part,
because right.
this is Marvel supported, and it won't be something that they're going to start and then just stop like they did X-Men. You know, Wolverine and the X-Men and stuff like that.
Are you surprised it's Peter Parker and not Miles?
No, I'm not surprised, because Peter Parker... Miles is going to run for a minute, but everybody's still... Peter Parker is still the guy.
Gotcha.
It's just not going to be the case that people are going to forget about Peter Parker.
Right, yeah. And if they are following the story of Ultimate Spider-Man, maybe we'll get there eventually.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's possible. What about you, Brent? You interested at all?
I haven't seen any footage of it.
Okay.
This is the thing with Marvel. Is like, they have all this stuff, but they don't release any footage of it. Or, you know, like, the best thing they did, or that Green Lantern did last year, was put out their shit online, you know, like, the full 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The movie turned out to suck, but, you know, at least it was nice. Like, to me, if you're going to have all this panel coverage, at least, like, New York Comic Con in San Diego, like, just put it out there. You know, just build up some buzz... or something, because I don't know. I know it's supposed to be like a reward for you know, being there and stuff like that, but I don't know. I'm just sick and tired of reading the reports and not seeing any pics or video, or it's like, just release the footage, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than have people bootleg it.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
It should be available on Ustream. That's like the you know, sometimes Marvel and DC, they want to be considered innovative at times, but they just seem so outdated, because they should have, like, DC, at least they do the podcasts for the panels.
Right.
But Marvel should do that, plus they should stream it. I would even pay a couple of bucks to watch a panel over Ustream if they made it available, or watch it on the Marvel site if made it available.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a great way to get people who can't go to be able to watch it and go to your site. Like,
right.
Okay, you just watch this about the panel, check this link, and look at the previous Avengers stuff that's been going on that you might want to check out.
Right.
You know, why not do it?
Yeah. Well, that's the same question people ask about Apple. You know, why Apple refuses to stream any of their events, or when they really should, you know? They gave it one shot. And then that was it.
Well, Apple had to lose some money first.
Right.
Before that. That's the difference. Like, Marvel and DC, you still are not known by that many people. You still need to bring in new people. Apple, automatically you say Apple, people are going to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference. Like, you need to, you know, we just can't be exclusive. And comics, you just can't. You gotta have more of an open door thing, and to get people excited about it, because people will forget about the things that they heard about at the con real quick.
Oh yeah,
and move on to something else.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and you know, we're talking all this stuff about Marvel and DC, And yet there was some news that came out that was neither of them. That was actually mm-hmm. pretty exciting. For one thing, Fred Van Wente is going to have a follow-up to Action Philosophers,
mm-hmm.
which I'm looking forward to, called Action Presidents. I mean, you want to talk insane. I mean, Action Philosophers was, you know, taking a whole bunch of philosophers and making them into superheroes. Can you imagine George W. Bush running around as a superhero?
Or supervillain.
Or supervillain, right. Yeah, because we don't know yet. And Ben McCool is coming out with an adaptation of the Russian film Alexander Nevsky for IDW, which looks like it's going to be really, really intense.
I spoke to him, too, and he was excited about that.
Yeah, no.
Even drunk, he was excited about that.
You talked to him at the bar?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was real excited about it, which is cool. That's another thing that I think people miss out because you can't watch them talk about it. Scott Snyder, I've gotten excited about more projects he's done because I watched him on a video talking about it, or I saw him at a con talking about it, mm-hmm. more than just reading something on a website.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's something I like doing at cons, and I've gotten to do it more and more, is actually being able to talk to people, you know, outside the event when their guard is down and they're willing to just, you know, chat. That's the best part, man. Straight up. Green Lantern. There was a little bit of Green Lantern news that came out of the con. Nothing really severe or anything. I mean, just the same old, you know, knowing more about the secrets of the Indigo Tribe, and we'll get more Dexter and Kyle
Rayner.
Why
do we have to have another crossover with Green Lantern?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I don't know, man. I mean, I would think the entire reason they're doing this is because it's the first crossover of the New 52.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do a...
They just had one, though. Yeah. New 52 or not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't need another one within a year, dude. That took up 4 months of the books, and then, you know, some were late and some weren't and stuff. It just took forever. Just, you know, just give me some freaking stories. And if they cross over, I'll follow them like Sinestro Corps War. You didn't really need to read the Green Lantern Corps issues unless you wanted the whole thing. You could just follow the Hal issues.
Right.
Unlike, you know, and same thing with Blackest Night. Between Green Lantern and Blackest Night were really one and the same, but you didn't have to read Green Lantern Corps if you didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Green Lantern books, there's so many of them. I don't want to have all 4 or 5 books cross over. I'm sick enough of like Red Lanterns as it is, just being crap.
Well, I don't think that's one that's going to continue after whatever run it's getting, because they announced. I went to the retailers' breakfast and they announced. DC announced at the retailers' breakfast that they're going to do the incentive, which allows like DCBS to do bundles for the whole 52.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to continue to do that up until issue 8.
Oh, wow.
So that's part of the whole thing to give you a chance. I think after that initial 8, I think that's when they're going to make that decision of what books are going to stay and what books are going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then move in some more of the, you know, other books that they have waiting in the wings.
Right, yeah. Which makes sense because, you know, with that initial like poking and prodding as to whether or not OMAC was going to be on the chopping block. If it's not going to be on the chopping block until issue 8, they're not going to talk about it until issue 8.
Right, and it's important to give people a chance. 8 issues is a great, you know, amount of time for people to let someone do one story. You know, mm-hmm. let them do something. Tell them they're going to get at least 8 issues and let them do it. Now, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But at least you let them know ahead of time that this is what you're going to get. Come out the gate running. Do the best stories you can do in that amount of time.
That's true. Yeah, no, because I hate it when I'm reading a book and just out of nowhere it gets canceled.
Mm-hmm.
At least here we know that they're getting at least 8 or 9 issues to give it a shot.
Right.
Do what they can do. And they know going into it that they might only have this one storyline.
Right.
Yeah, because... like a perfect example was Young Allies over at Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that just got canceled straight up. You know, and they knew that they had to finish it all in one issue, and they had to make it as satisfying as possible. And they did a decent enough job. It just, you know, obviously it would have ended differently if they would have had the amount of issues than they thought they were going to have.
Yeah, because I didn't jump on it. Because at first I didn't think anything of it. And then I heard enough people talk about it that they liked it. So I said, oh, let me check out an issue. And then they announced already that it was canceled. So I said, why bother? And move on to something else.
I hear you. I hear you. You know, I think Image Comics probably won this con.
Yeah.
With all the news that they had coming out of this, I mean, they were the ones that bam, 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 bam. They had something every single day that looked interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
Well, you know, we've gotten a chance from being in the podcast. We've actually had a chance to talk to them. A lot of guys that are doing like Samurai Blood, which is a period piece of Japan, and then you got Red Spike, which is a sci-fi action army thing, and then you have Echoes coming out, which is a horror. So you got all the different types of books, and then you have the announcement with Robert Kirkman with the Skybound, mm-hmm. which he's going to do a crime book.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, and they just kept throwing stuff out, you know, just one after the other. They kept throwing out, and it's not something like, oh, we're going to have another Batman book. Oh, we're going to have another Avengers book. You know, oh, yeah. New Spider-Man right. coming out.
Who saw a Brubaker and Phillips Image book coming?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was there any mention of Image United?
Probably, and then cough, cough, cough. Hey, look over there, a kitty.
I don't know.
Image United is the bastard child of Image, man. I mean, no one wants to talk about Image United, because, I mean, that was just an absolute mess and a half.
United no longer.
Image divided. Image very disassembled.
Divided. Yeah, very divided.
Yeah, right. But the return of the return of Extreme Studios.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Young Blood. That'll make Wood happy. Mm-hmm. We got Prophet back. Glory. Bloodstrike. Supreme. Supreme. Yeah. Man. I mean the basic story by Alan Moore. Because this is all Supreme stuff that never really got finished. This has been sitting in a can.
So. What was the Image news? I mean, this Extreme Studios, or they're bringing back a bunch of 90s comics, basically?
Yeah, with current creators. And
they look totally different. Like, Prophet, mm-hmm. The pictures of Prophet look nothing like, I looked at it like that. That looks like a totally, something that would come out now.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not he doesn't have the big muscle dude with the big sword and the guns. He looks like he's a dude in a jumpsuit. And, you know, like, he looks like a scientist, kind of, more than a big muscle guy.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Consider the return of Extreme Studios, similar to when Marvel came out with New Universal.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be an entirely new take. The only one that's really basing off of previous stuff is Supreme. Because, again, this is all unfinished Alan Moore stuff that's going to be cleaned up and art by Eric Larson and Corey Hampshire. So
this is like the, what, 10th time they've relaunched Youngblood and it's failed to find an audience?
About the 11th or 13th, yeah.
And I wouldn't say fail in terms of sales, because the sales were still better than... he got more sales out of unfinished stuff
mm-hmm.
than I know a lot of creators would wish they would get. But the problem with him is you have to finish it. And he didn't even draw all of it, but you have to get it done.
Right.
Like, that is going to be the thing in this Extreme Studios. Like, some of the things that they said about it, it looks kind of interesting, but my only problem with even checking it out, because I'm not an anti- Rob Liefeld guy. Mm-hmm. So my only issue is, if I buy one, am I going to get whatever amount of issues you said I'm going to get, or are you just going to stop?
Right.
And move to something else.
It does look good, though, that Rob's at least splitting the art duties on this.
Right.
That's not just going to be him. And mind you, people say all this shit about Rob Liefeld, and yet he's actually been pretty consistent with his releases of late. I mean, over the last, I'd say about the last 3 years... when he was doing the Deadpool stuff over at Marvel, that came
on
out on time and on a consistent
on
basis. So far, Hawk and Dove has been out consistently.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see him and Brevoort argue about Killraven on Twitter some more.
That is good times. Yeah, or him and Peter David argue about Shadowstar a little bit more. Why not?
Yeah.
But
Peter David still has a job?
Yes, he does. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Come on now.
Hey.
I sat next to his booth. He had people, there were so many X Factor people that came up to him that it was ridiculous.
Yeah, no, and I've been.
I'm surprised he still makes his living off just X Factor.
He doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
Well,
he does
has
the stuff.
Stephen King stuff. Right?
Yeah, yeah. He's got the Stephen King stuff. He's got the novels.
The movie adaptions. Star Trek.
Fallen Angels coming back. Mm-hmm.
The Camelot Papers.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that, and then he's going to. He said they're doing another Fallen Angel series down the line with J.K. Woodward.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. So he stays working. I mean, he doesn't. He does a lot of outside stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, just because a dude's doing one book for Marvel doesn't mean he's not doing other stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
I know, yo. I know. I feel your pain. It's true. Well, that and this is actually a perfect example of how things go in this comic world right now. If you're not doing something for Marvel and DC, it's still hard to remember that you exist.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It sucks. I mean, Image, I'll also throw in there is, you know, if you're not doing something for Image as well, but, you know, if you're trying to work your way back up, if you're trying to do some indie stuff and try and stay relevant, it's difficult. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, same can be said for, you know, Scott Lobdell. Scott Lobdell disappeared entirely, and now he's back in force. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, we shall see.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm thinking, damn, what has he been doing all this time? And then I'm ordering a bunch of shipments for, you know, for the library. Mm-hmm. I'm ordering these books, and I'm looking at the titles, and I'm going, wait a minute, Scott Lobdell wrote this. He wrote a whole bunch. He's been doing Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew, some anime teenage stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing that, but I totally just went out my head that I just thought he fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah, didn't he do some sports manga too? I thought.
Yeah.
That's what mm-hmm. I thought. Hey,
Sportsmaster.
hey, you order for libraries? Give me the rest mm-hmm. of 20th Century Boys. God damn it.
You got to talk to your librarian to ask for it.
I know.
That's what you have to do.
I know. I got to poke and prod them because the Brooklyn Public Library has, and both the New York Public Library, I think, stopped at around volume 13 and
get on your
17
you gotta
now.
Get on your librarian at the branch. Tell her you really want it because if they don't order it, it's not going to work.
Poking and prodding.
You have to.
Yeah, I know it's all part of the budget cuts, too.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, that happens.
You can find a young librarian who's never been poked and prodded.
Woohoo! Hi-yo!
Well, it's funny because at the con, they actually give librarians, people who work at the library, they give them discounts. $10 discounts, or some librarians at museums were sending them, they were paying for their tickets to go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, to try to, you know, to see what books that they might want to order.
That's cool.
You know,
that's
the incentive.
So here's a question for you. Going back to the Brubaker Phillips thing, why do you think this is coming out from Image and not from Icon?
Because Icon, I don't straight up don't think Icon gives you a good enough rate on that. Because you look at with Red Wing, and now they're going to do the Manhattan Project. It's Nick Patara and I can't think of the writer's name, and I should know it.
Mm-hmm.
For Marvel. He chose. I mean, they love him at Marvel right now. They named him an architect.
Is it Jason Aaron?
Yeah, no, not Jason Aaron. Hickman, Jonathan Hickman.
Hickman, yeah.
They pretty much gave him the keys to a lot of books. You mm-hmm. know, FF. But when they were shopping the deal, Marvel just—I don't know if they could not, but they didn't give them a better deal than Image.
Yeah.
So he went with Image.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
what you think happened here.
Yeah, I'm thinking it just had to do with what how much you get back on, you know, cost. Because the thing is with Marvel, you have with Icon, at least you'll be in the Marvel section, so you either give up more, you know, getting as much money back per issue that you sell, but you also get a little bit more, you get a couple more hits in terms of previews because you're in the Marvel section, so you have to weigh it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like this means that they're going away from Marvel, because obviously Bruce still got all of his stuff, and but both Criminal and Incognito have new volumes coming soon.
Right.
So this is just, I guess, their one time out of there. But what's good about Marvel's contracts is that they literally are, you're exclusive, meaning you can do anything you want as long as it's not for DC.
Right.
Yeah. Unless you're, what's-his-face, I can't think of his name all of a sudden, Morning Glories.
Oh, Nick Spencer.
Yeah, unless you're Nick Spencer, where it's written in where you can do, you know, one book for DC, but still be with Marvel.
Yeah, so I think it probably, like, I think that Brubaker and Phillips, they got the following that they needed by doing all those books at Icon.
Mm-hmm.
And now they can branch out and go to Image and hopefully get them to follow you to Image. Because I think the difference between Marvel and Image and DC is Marvel will pump your name constantly so that people hear you. Like they do it, like you see with when Ed Brubaker was at DC. Nobody really talked about Brubaker at DC, but he was doing good Marvel Batman stories for years.
Yeah.
And Gotham Central, but it just didn't, you know, get into people's ears. He went to Marvel and was successful with the X-Men stuff in the beginning, and he really did well with the Captain America. All of a sudden, all of his Batman stuff and the Gotham Central started selling. And all of a sudden, everybody's talking, you know, they're talking about Brubaker a lot. You heard his name a lot, and that's the difference between, you know, Marvel and DC. Jamal Igel, he's been with DC for a long time.
Yep.
Mike Norton's been with DC. He was with DC for a long time, exclusive. Great artists, but their names were not spoken enough.
Nope.
And I think that if Jamal goes to another company and Mike Norton continues to do what he's doing in other places, I think that you're going to hear their names now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But that's the sad part about it, is you give everything that, you know, DC needs to work harder to get those names out there so that people will follow their stuff.
Yeah. I mean, not to put words in Jamal Igel's mouth, but I know he was posted on Facebook earlier saying, you know, that I'm not leaving DC, but if I were to work for Marvel, what books would you like me to do?
Right.
And I immediately it came to my head, Nova. Because I think he would do an amazing job with Nova, especially if Nova's coming back, like they've been hinting for this Point One stuff. He would be killer on a nice space book like Nova.
Well, you get to see it on the Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would love that, or even if he did even if it's a one shot, Jamal should do an Avengers book, because I just want people to see what the man can do.
Yep. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder. Put him on something where people are just gonna, like, an annual.
Yeah.
And just let the man do it. Like, to just do his stuff. And let every, you know, a lot of people that haven't seen it, because not everybody likes Supergirl.
Yep.
And put him on Superman.
Yes.
Mrs. Marino is leaving.
I know.
Look.
Make it happen.
That should have happened. He should have been on Superman.
It should have been the launch guy.
Yes.
He should have been. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I would not, you know, I would. The way DC was doing him, I'm like, he's been your loyal dude for I don't know how long. Never missed a deadline. Does great work.
And well, we don't know if he never missed it.
No, he said it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been out there.
I've had dinner with him, and he said those exact words. So I believe him when he says it.
Yeah, there's no contrary. No one's contradicted that, him putting it out there. He never missed a deadline.
I just didn't want us to get misquoted.
Oh, and still, you know, you get 52, and you don't ask him to do anything. Or even when he left Supergirl, he gave you quality work. They built Supergirl as well as they could, you know, and in Soul as well as a Supergirl is going to sell. And you put him on Satana next. And I'm not saying nothing bad about Satana.
It's just, no, Satana is a lesser character.
That's a lesser known character. That's just not something you reward somebody for something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
No, it's true. It's true. Because it was a step backwards. Because, I mean, he went from Firestorm to Supergirl down to Satana. And I know that they were trying to keep Satana at least somewhat relevant, because Paul Dini was on the book, and they thought that, you know, that would get, you know, eyes to it. But the sales just weren't there.
No.
Well, he went from Firestorm to something else to Nightwing, and then, you know.
Right.
Yeah, big time on Nightwing, and then a tangent, and then.
Yep.
I don't know where he ended up after that. Maybe it was Supergirl or something, but it's like, what?
Yeah.
Tangent, Batman, are you still doing that?
Yeah, Batman should have been next.
Oh, dude, yes. Well, here's I mean, there were a couple other things that came out of New York Comic Con. There's one thing that came out after New York Comic Con, which I'm kind of surprised they waited until literally like the day after New York Comic Con to announce it. This Venom crossover, like, literally just got announced now, with Rick Remender, Jeff Parker, and Rob Williams focusing on Venom, and it's going to be in. Fantastic Four, Red Hulk, oh. X-23, Ghost Rider.
Oh. What?
All the lower titles from the looks of things.
No.
This is going to cross over.
Join Venom.
And that's going to make me drop, because I love Venom. I'm enjoying Venom, but I don't get the X-23. I don't buy. And it's not because they're not good. It's just that you double ship all these books, you know, books that I do like Uncanny X-Force and X-Men books and stuff like that. I'm not getting everything. Yeah. I just can't.
I will be picking up Secret Avengers, though, when Venom joins the team.
Oh, I love that. When they announced the, because I haven't been in, since Brubaker left, I really haven't been feeling Secret Avengers.
Mm-hmm. What? Did you read Warren Ellis' issue?
I'm not a Warren Ellis dude. Like, some stories I like.
Go pick that shit.
Darryl, give it a shot.
I got it.
It's fucking dope. Oh,
I have
man.
No choice because I bought the subscription. So I've gotten all of it. I had no choice. I get it anyway.
The Dick Spencer stuff, I agree with you, you know, wasn't very good. That was Fear Itself. But holy cow, that Warren Ellis issue came out, and I was like, slack-jawed reading that thing. I was like,
well, Warren Ellis to me is like every character is the same character. It's just they got different clothes and they got different powers, well, but they all talk exactly the same to me.
Female characters, I would agree with you, because everybody made that joke when he was writing Astonishing X-Men, where every line out of Emma Frost's mouth was, if I have to blank one more time, I will surely blank.
Like, they're everybody has that same sarcastic tone. The scientific ideas are good, but sometimes when he's on a run, it falls away.
Did you read his Thunderbolts?
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Yeah. That was when I enjoyed it.
Like, that's what I would compare Secret Avengers to, probably the most, in tone and personality.
And they're all criminals, so it fit the tone that he likes to write in.
Right,
you know, it fits that cynical, biting humor, you know, like, because they're a lot of them have that already, so it fit.
Yeah.
But having Remender and Gabriel Hardman on it on Secret Avengers, I cannot wait.
Oh yeah,
to buy that book
without a doubt.
I missed the Venom announcement on that. I totally skipped that.
Yeah. Well, Venom's going to be in it. Hawkeye is going to be the leader now, as opposed to Cap. And the that's last I heard out of Secret Avengers. Hold on, let me get the actual news, because they did announce the team straight up.
They're thinking that
Black Widow's in it.
Yeah,
must be Hawkeye must be the one in the movie that they think is going to be the breakout character.
Yeah, well, especially because I noticed they took away Hawkeye's mask.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, to make him look even
more. Well, he
doesn't
wear a mask in the movie. Hello.
No, I know. Obviously, that's gonna be the reason there. Let's see. Secret Avengers. Yeah, the fact that I need to actually, Google this just to find it. Okay.
I know Black Widow's on it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Because she was on it before.
Yes.
And Beast is gone, right?
No, Beast is still on it.
He's still there?
Yes, yeah, he's still on it. He wasn't in the initial image, but yeah, here it is, on Robot 6. The team that they show is Beast, Valkyrie, a Human Torch, we don't know which one, Ant-Man, Hawkeye, Venom, Captain Britain.
Wait, what the fuck is that about?
And Black Widow.
Venom.
I said Venom. And Venom's going to be on it too. I don't know if you know this.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is up with Tony Moore on Venom? He's like, two issues off, and then he's like, nah, we're totally done with Venom now. It's like, I like his art, but goddamn, the man cannot keep a book up to date for anything.
Yeah.
It's just, it's disappointing, man. I'm sorry.
I got into it more for him before I started reading it than for the writer. And then the writer got me. And I'm not the biggest Tom Fowler fan, so it has to be something in particular that he's doing. See, but I don't like everything he does.
I saw Fowler on Green Arrow on the Linux run, and I was like, holy shit. But yeah, that was awful. But nothing against Fowler, but his Venom stuff's actually been, I think it's been a lot better than the Tony Moore stuff, honestly, because like the Tony Moore stuff, there's so much like black ink on the page, it almost felt muddy and unclear.
Yeah.
Whereas whatever Fowler's doing is striking me a lot better.
I can't talk about it, but Fowler does have more stuff coming outside of Venom. That'll be announced soon by Marvel in one way or another.
Cool,
I'm glad he's finally developed into an artist I like.
Yes. And actually, from the comments on this, it is probably the android Human Torch as opposed to Johnny Storm. Because he, for one thing, in the image, he doesn't have a face. And Remender has mentioned that this story is going to be about androids. So it would make sense for Human Torch. Because
being dead and all would do that to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, since they've been advertising Human Torch, if it has the 4600, he might not be nearly as dead as we think he is.
I'm thinking Invaders is making a comeback then, somehow. Maybe. On a movie or something.
It's possible. Well, wasn't there that Human Torch series not too long ago? About the old one?
A while ago.
Yeah.
It was a while ago.
That was supposed to be the return of the Human Torch, and then nothing came of it. So.
Yeah, but I heard something, rumors about the next Cap movie having something to do with the Invaders.
Yeah.
Because if they work it out.
Because they still haven't brought Namor into the movie universe.
Right.
Yeah, and you would think that would have to happen eventually. But who knows? Yeah. I do like Captain Britain being on this team. That should bring an interesting dynamic.
They're oddballs, and he fits. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that. He fits any kind of oddball team.
Yeah. And since MI-13 went bye-bye, he hasn't really been anywhere.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So this will be fun. This will be good times. Let's see. Dark Horse had some announcements, but they were all related to Buffy and Angel, so not really anything there. Well, except for there's also going to be a BPRD Hell on Earth about the absence of vampires in the Hellboy-verse.
Right.
So that should be pretty cool. I think they're really going like vampire crazy over at Dark Horse, man.
I love that Angel and Faith, though. That book, the first issue I read.
I have the issues. I haven't read them yet, so I'll have to get to them. I did read the first issue of Buffy, and that was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I enjoyed that too.
Yeah, because I was hit or miss with season 8. Season 9 seems to be starting off pretty well. I know that Brent hasn't read any of it, so I'm not gonna talk about it too long here.
I haven't watched any of it.
You should eventually, man. I know it's
eventually.
Yeah, eventually. I'm sure it's like in the middle of your list somewhere.
It's fun stuff. It's fun stuff if you get a chance to look at it.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
I want to watch Battlestar first more than anything.
Yeah, no, do that because
or Breaking Bad. There's too many shows.
Yeah.
Can you believe frickin' Bryan Singer is making a Battlestar Galactica movie?
They said that before it ended.
Yeah,
that he was doing it.
Yeah, unrelated to the show whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like. The whole point of the revival of Battlestar Galactica was that it was a revival. It was going to be, you know, the start of something new. And now Bryan Singer wants to make his own. That would be like going back to the well of the Stargate universe and like ignoring the show.
Well, did you know that the 300 guys making a revival of the Superman movie? Like totally unrelated, something.
Really, I have
like
no,
a third universe.
I have no idea what you're talking about there. Yeah, I thought Bryan Singer was going to make another one. What do you mean?
Or the guy who directed that chick flick is making a revival of the Spider-Man movies from
just
10 years ago.
Just going to keep talking.
Totally unrelated.
Just going to keep talking, aren't you?
Did you know that? I mean, it's not too uncommon. I'm sorry.
No. Here's the one that I'm like, what the fuck about? They are making a remake of Rocky Horror.
I'm surprised they haven't done it already.
I'm surprised they even thought about making it.
Well, yeah, you know, the Footloose movie did so well.
Ian, you gotta think of Yeah, you gotta think of cha-ching. And there's still people in the city. We were out a couple of weeks ago. We were out in the movies. Mm-hmm. Whole bunch of dudes in makeup and dresses, like transvestite dresses, were walking by. And then it clicked. My friend was like, well, what the heck is that about? And I said, you know what? Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yep.
Is going on. How many years has that been?
25, 30?
Yeah.
And you know what? Do it?
Yeah.
Those guys that go out week to week to see the same movie, they'll go at least once to see the new one, and that's all it takes.
Oh, yeah.
That's mm-hmm. all they
one,
need.
One weekend. That's all it needs.
Yeah.
That's all it needs. And then sell it to TV or Netflix or whatever and get the check and move on.
Yep. That's it. That's all you need. What do you guys think about these graphic novels Marvel's putting out? Their version of Earth One, I guess.
I really could care less.
Same here.
None of the names they're not names that I know, so no. It's not really clicking with me. They got to show me more stuff.
Isn't Aguirre Sacasa doing one of them?
She's doing one of them, but yeah, I agree with you, Daryl. Like, it's not names. Like, I got excited about the Geoff Johns and Gary Frank. I got excited about Shane Davis and JMS, and you know. Bermejo and the guy who wrote the Joker one, Lazzarello. Mm-hmm. You know, right. those are exciting names. That's going to get me to buy a book sight unseen, you know, a whole 120 issues. But those guys that they put on the season one stuff, the writers, much less the artists, I really don't care about. In the Marvel Universe, it doesn't really need a retelling of the origins, I feel like, with all the movies and stuff like that that's come out.
I agree.
I really don't think it needs a refreshing at all.
Yeah.
They kind of do it every year they kind of refresh it. Like, how easy is it to refresh the Avengers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the way that the continuity is, you can kind of play with it. Iron Man has been relaunched.
Reborn.
Quote-unquote relaunched.
Yeah.
How many times, you know, to fit, like, oh, he was World War II. No, he wasn't in Vietnam anymore. He's in, he was in some other Iraq war or something. Like, they can just constantly do it.
Yeah.
So.
And they're just going to keep on doing it.
Oh, yeah. They'll put a name on it, have it, you know, have it look beautiful, have a big name artist, a team, do six issues of it, and throw it and put it out, and it'll attract, you know, readers to get it, and it'll still work. They look at Thor, and like, there's just so many, you know, there's so many characters that they don't worry about the continuity as much, so they can pretty much play with it, and they don't have to relaunch it.
Right. Yeah. Well, so. And that's like, I mean, it's not like they're going back to square one with that new Avengers book. It's just going to be another Avengers book that happens to have the same team as the movie, at least at the start.
Right.
So is Hawkeye going to be on three different teams now? He's like the new Wolverine?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm.
He's going to be that guy. I really think that because of that movie, and a lot of the writers on that, you know, dealt with that movie, like Bendis,
mm-hmm.
has seen that movie enough that he kind of they kind of think that he is going to be the breakout character for that movie.
Well, you know,
well, they're sure not showing him a lot for him to be a breakout character.
Yeah.
At least in that trailer.
Well,
like, that trailer got me excited, you know, switching gears a little bit, but I wasn't like super excited for it as I was after seeing, like, say, the Iron Man trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're holding back. Like, this was just to tell you this is who's going to be in it.
Right.
Just step back and wait.
But I knew who's going to be in it. It's like,
you knew. You
they
knew.
Didn't show me anything that got me excited.
Right.
That I didn't anticipate already being seen, I guess.
Here's my problem with it, okay? Here's my problem with that trailer and with the movie in general. You have one female member of the Avengers. One.
And she's not even in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's not writing a comic book, damn it.
And she's not even writing a comic book.
Yeah.
And she's not taking her top off. What kind of you know, message about women are
Show me her
saying?
Cell phone. I want her naked on my cell phone.
Well, at least Robin Sparkles is going to be in it, so that should be fun.
Yeah, that's what I want.
What I have to say, you're not going to get that many women on it. You got her. You're going to have Maria Hill.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing that many characters.
Pepper's going to be in it too.
Pepper, right? Yeah. But it's just too many characters. They're not going to do that many.
Yeah.
So you got. I hate to say it, but you got. You know, these are the ones that are the named characters.
Right.
Cap, Iron Man, Hulk. and Thor.
I still think Hank and Janet are going to be in there somewhere.
Probably peppered in.
Yeah.
How cool would it have been if you, rather than have a third actor as the Hulk, just cast She-Hulk instead? And just let it be like, hey, this is She-Hulk. What's up? And she's like, what's up, boys? I think that would have been a lot more interesting. Just saying.
That would have been cool.
Rather than have a third actor. Because, honestly, I don't think Ruffalo is going to be able to stand a thorn to Edward Norton, much less get enough screen time for us to actually, gauge him against Norton's performance. Because I thought Norton...
I don't think it's about him, though.
That's no, it's not.
Like, no one can... Really, you could put anybody as any normal-looking guy...
Yeah.
As Bruce Banner, all we care about is, for the general public, is when is he going to get mad and turn to the Hulk?
Mm-hmm. What's good for Ruffalo's sake is that he's actually really good friends with Ed Norton. So
right.
Norton's been giving him pointers, he's been giving him advice on how to play the character, and Ruffalo's also been looking at previous versions of the Hulk to try and mesh it all together into one Bruce Banner that we'll all like.
Because I don't think they want him to overpower. Because it's looking like, for the most part, this is Tony Stark's movie and Cap.
So it's Iron Man 3. Yeah.
It's Iron Man 3. And then you have Samuel Jackson, who pretty much, he just walks on the screen. And if he said, pass me that damn milk, that would be the applause. If all he said was, pass me the damn milk, that people would be clapping.
Yeah.
Did you see that when he said that?
I was tired of these motherfucking snakes. I'm a motherfucking helicarrier.
Why is there no motherfucking milk in my coffee? Like that was awesome.
Get me these Avengers bitches and get them for me now.
Right. So you can't. You really can't. Put so many characters in there.
Yeah.
Because you want your scene. Like, and I know people are not going to be happy with this movie.
My favorite thing about Sam Jackson is right now? Well, motherfucker's playing Martin Luther King Jr. on Broadway right now.
Yeah, I want to see that, too.
Yeah. I passed by it. I went to see Avenue Q with a buddy who was in town for New York Comic Con on Monday. We passed by it, and I'm like, what? What? It's like, how is he going to stop himself from cursing?
I don't
Very
know.
Very carefully.
Yeah. Like that is, people are going to say, hey, I didn't see enough Samuel Jackson in the movie, or I didn't see enough, Tony Stark in the movie, or, it's going to be those complaints are going to hit. Because when you have something like this, it's going to be a hard thing to juggle.
Yeah. What's
I had a motherfucking dream.
With those crack-ass crackers.
I wasn't going there.
I know, but I was.
I will let Daryl take the rest of it.
I just know the Jewish guy said it. Don't put it on me.
What? What? I have Jewish whining action. what I said on the PKD Media Black Box, I'll repeat here. My accessories in the action figure box are Manischewitz wine and a loaf of challah.
Does your arm cut bagels too?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
What, bagel cutting action?
Yeah.
Bagel cutting arm.
Bagel cutting grip. now with fidgeting with the thermostat. It's too hot in here. It's too cold. So switching gears over to Vertigo. Then there were a couple of Vertigo announcements that came out of this this con that I did like. Spaceman, which is not actually about the Doctor from 30 Rock, although I would...
Dr. Spaceman.
Damn. Dr. Spaceman, yeah.
I don't want it then. I was going to get it, too, but I now get it.
Brian Azzarello and Eduardo Risso, that's a nice one, too.
I'd really... And I'm not the biggest 100 Bullets fan, but yes. Yeah, I like some of it, but not all the stories were my favorite, so he got me with this. Huh?
Daryl, you're just disappointing me. You're kind of like Mike on CGS. I thought I liked you, but the more I listened to you, I decided that I don't.
Just some stuff of his I like, some stuff I don't. And like some trades I like of 100 Bullets, some stuff I don't. I didn't care for it, so I'm hit and miss with him. So Wonder Woman, he's a hit.
It's all right. I'll let it slide. I'll let it slide for now. It's okay.
So yeah, Spaceman is a hit. It's looking like it's a hit.
I would think so. Yeah. How about the adaptation of the girl with the dragon tattoo? I wasn't.
No way.
I was not expecting that.
No.
I've read the book. I've seen the Swedish movie. I think I'm going to be done with it after the Fincher movie.
Yeah. Well, it's let's see. Did they say who's on it? No, they don't actually.
Oh.
It just says it's going to be an adaptation, so we don't know who's on it yet.
It's going to be crap.
Yeah.
Did you notice how they did it? Like how most of the Vertigo panel was, we still got books.
Yes. Yeah. It's like Hellblazer hasn't been canceled yet, guys. We swear. We got
Fable's still coming out, even though it's not any good anymore.
Oh, fuck you.
Hey.
Sorry.
Back up.
Now I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah.
Sorry, the Dark Ages trade just kind of like teetered off after that.
It's hard to beat
the Great War. I know. But
very true. Very true.
I've been liking what's been going on lately, though. I've been liking the end of that and the beginning of the current arc has been pretty good.
And I love me some Cinderella.
Yes.
I'll have to check back in.
Yeah.
I love me some Cinderella from Fable Town. Mm. I love it. I love it.
And are you going to be following this new Fables book, Fairest?
Yes, because I basically all I want is like the Chris Robertson Cinderella, but I know they're going to do other stories in between. Mm-hmm. So that kind of is a good way to get me to check out other characters waiting for the one that I want to read.
Well, this is going to be like JSA Classified for Fables, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which
I just want Fables to tell me. Which TV show to watch? Whether it be Grimm or Fairest.
I heard by them that none. I heard the talk on that in the Vertigo group is don't watch any.
Once Upon a Time is the other one, not Fairest. Fairest is the Fables book.
Yeah, I don't think they're happy with any of those.
Oh no, of course not. Yeah, well, and I love how they completely dodged the question at the panel. Like, I have a question for you. So, is it true that this is basically just Fables with a different name? And the guy was like, well, actually, I haven't read the script for blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I love how they're like, we could still do a Fables TV show. At this point, I don't think so, pal.
No, this is basically... We don't know what to do with how to put the animals in the show.
Right. Yeah.
So this is how we get out of that.
No, you could do a Fables TV show. It would have to be on HBO or Showtime.
It would have to be, but they.
What happened
to
the Preacher show?
Preacher show went nowhere.
Fear. Fear.
Chew's still going to happen, though. Chew looks like it's still going to happen. That's still in production over at Showtime.
Well, Chew won't be attacked by all. Religious factions,
right?
But
and neither will
Preacher
Pouts.
Would,
yeah.
Preacher makes it fun.
Yeah, no, I know it makes it fun, but you know that, that's the way that shows get killed, is people get fidgety and they get worried about what the reaction's going to be, and then they don't get produced.
He's going to be like, God is what? You did what? A preacher did what?
Yeah.
At least
we still have the Boys movies coming.
I'm waiting for that. What they got to cut out?
Yeah, right.
I'm waiting for that because I know damn it, Warner Brothers is looking over their shoulder like, yeah, let's see what you got.
Yeah, please.
I swear to God, if I see one dude from Krypton looking like he's from Krypton, or one guy with a cow sleeping with the boy or wanting to have sex with his ward or whatever, yeah, we'll see how. How that goes.
You mean Captain Sunshine?
Yeah. We'll see how that goes, because I'm just thinking they're just waiting to see if it looks a little bit too much like something else that they do, and the lawsuits will begin.
Yeah. If you were looking for... go ahead.
I was going to say, didn't Warner Brothers, technically they okayed the Boys when they first published it?
Yes.
Through DC?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then somebody read it.
No, Paul Levitz wrote it. To this day, people say that if Paul Levitz had been taken out of power earlier over at DC, the Boys would still be with DC right now.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Somebody read it. It was him. Yeah. But he read it.
It's interesting how fast things changed once he left.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And now we have the relaunch and stuff.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah.
Because he's happy as long as they give him a Legion book.
Which isn't good.
I stopped picking that up ages ago, so I can't comment.
I'm still with it, but it's crowded.
Best issue one.
Yeah.
It's crowded. This new one, if you want to get new people on that book, you...
How's Legion? Like a core five.
Yeah. How's Legion Lost?
I like the first issue.
Okay. All right.
It was okay. It I don't know. The first issue so far kind of put it on the fence with me. I got to read at least a couple more issues to see how it goes. But right now, it's just to me. Okay.
If you were looking for any news about Venture Brothers out of New York Comic Con, there wasn't any.
No, except for the emails, the 500 million emails they kept sending all of us.
Holy crap, man. I mean, I went to the Venture Brothers panel. It was entertaining, but it was literally, we have nothing for you.
But
we're still funny. Yeah. So we're gonna read questions from the website, and then we're gonna give Doc Hammer's list of phrases he doesn't want said to him anymore.
Cause we still funny.
They have, I think, 6 scripts written for the next season at this point.
Yeah, I think they all smoke weed.
Not nearly as much as somebody.
They're still funny.
But we still funny.
That's got to be your catchphrase from now on, Daryl.
So, funny we are.
Get ready.
I'd have been mad if I waited online for that Venture Brothers card, you know, panel and sat there and they just didn't tell me anything.
Yeah, well.
Breaking news.
We're
still funny.
Oh, man. I mean, apparently there was some news out of, there was some news out of the Black Dynamite panel. Specifically, that they will say that word in the Black Dynamite cartoon.
What word is that?
That word that white people can't say.
What word is that? The one Barbara Walters can use, but we can't?
Oh, that one?
Yeah.
That
word? It rhymes with jigger.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bigger?
It's in a cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can Jay-Z say it?
Jay-Z can say it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Not Kanye, though.
Kanye can't say it.
Nah.
Why can't Kanye say it?
He's too white.
Yeah.
He's darker than Jay-Z. Tone-wise.
Yeah, but he wears nicer clothes.
Jay-Z run the city, don't you know?
Yeah. It's true. You haven't heard?
So it's him that you should be Facebooking about the MTS service, not the rest of the world, Ian.
Yes.
Yeah,
MTS? What the hell's the MTS? It's MTA.
Whatever the hell they keep posting about fucking trains or some shit. I'm like,
train.
Dude, come on.
What?
Start bugging Jay-Z about it.
I was annoyed. And look, just because he derives his name from the J and Z train doesn't mean he runs the MTA.
Oh.
You don't know that.
You're right, I don't.
Yes, he do, because him and Beyonce, they rule New York. No. Didn't she get pregnant by midichlorians? And the baby's gonna come out.
The Antichrist, son. Antichrist.
Baby gonna be super powerful. It's gonna come out.
Midichlorians.
Glowing.
It's gonna have a long tongue and a big booty.
Jeez.
And it's gonna sing and rap at the same time.
Christ. Yep.
It's gonna have a mouth, a second mouth.
And a whole lot of money.
You know my favorite part about this con was that there was an actual Spider-Man turn off the dark panel.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about a panel that I'm sure must have gone something like, so, how many people have died?
We still alive.
I read the transcript of that one, and man, those guys, they were really like opening up on how bad the other version was.
Well, this is basically, he got rid of her, so let's talk about how she fucked up.
Hey, man.
Now that we got her out the room.
Now we can tell an actual story.
It's funny that they haven't talked about Bono or the Edge at all after they took over, too.
Yeah, you want to know why? Because...
They're not friends with Roberto Sacasa?
No.
Friends with Julie Taymor only?
Although they did write a new song for this version, so... At least they're still involved in one way.
Yeah, but they probably wrote that song, like, on the way taking a shit in the bathroom or something real quick and just threw it out.
Comic book nerds!
Just handed it to
you again.
Oh dear.
You know they did that. They didn't care.
Check cashes.
Kiss me, kill me, baby.
Cha-ching. They don't care about that book, that play. They can give a damn about that show.
It's we did it for Batman. We can do it for Spider-Man. Woo-hoo.
Hey, and now there's Batman on stage. So this
actually that one sounds pretty good. That's
yeah,
what I read.
Yeah, no, it looks like a Adam West type.
I'll see that.
Oh, great. I wanted to be alcoholic, too.
Mm.
I want an alcoholic Batman.
Alcoholic.
With a drug habit.
So you want Iron Man?
Yes. Okay. That's what I want.
So then have an Iron Man show.
See, I think Family Guy should do Batman parodies rather than Star Wars ones, because the Star Wars ones got kind of lame.
Okay.
Yeah, because Star Wars prequels are so bad that there's not much you can make fun of. It makes
well,
fun
no,
of itself.
Like, the Star Wars parodies, they're telling the entire Star Wars story and just making jokes about it, like rather
right.
than
it's
do something different,
do.
Like Robot Chicken.
Yeah.
Well, the, you know, isn't the Robot
Speaking
Chicken
of,
supposed to be doing Green Lantern and some of the JLA?
They're supposed to be doing characters? A DC special. That was the news that I liked the most out of
yeah.
this one. Cause
right.
I was just watching those Robot Chicken Star Wars ones and laughing mm-hmm. so hard I could barely breathe.
Mm.
So I'm excited for DC.
Well, good. Hopefully they won't reuse any of their skits like they do in all the other ones.
Well, if they do, it'd be stuff I haven't seen, so...
Okay.
Yeah, don't count on that.
Yeah.
Don't
so,
count on that.
So two quick hits right here. One, return of early Thunderbolts as original team takes on new team.
Uh-huh.
Which could be interesting, but I stopped reading Thunderbolts.
Yeah. When they went through time, I kind of... I think I just jumped off.
Okay. And number two, Return of Runaways in Avengers Academy.
Store.
Why don't Marvel just say we still got Runaways? Why don't they just do a Runaway book?
Yeah, please. That? Please, we've all been saying that.
Every year it's, we still got Runaways. Did you see them? They ran through the Spider-Man book. Oh, Runaways was in the back of the Cat book. They were behind the garbage can running down the street during Secret Invasion.
It's like we're still there. We're still there. We promise. We're still making a movie.
Right. Just do the damn book then.
Please.
Instead of throwing them in everything. Just do the damn book.
It's like Marvel's panel, like Venture Brothers. We still got Runaways and Young Avengers. We still got them. We can't find them, but we still got them.
Oh, my God.
What was the Brian K. Vaughan announcement? Because wasn't there supposed to be a BKV announcement at New York Comic Con?
He's doing some image book.
Oh, he's doing an image book?
Okay. Yeah.
But we knew that already.
They announced that in San Diego.
Oh, they did. Okay, all right.
Because yeah.
they were screaming like this was some new announcement, but I guess it wasn't.
It was that same announcement, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
But it was the same announcement that they did at San Diego.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking
still gay, you're still bald.
what if they just get Alan Heinberg to write Runaways, and that way it'll come out once a year?
Basically, yes. that would probably be the case.
Make it happen. Make it happen. Walking Dead. Did you guys see the first episode?
No, it was on the plane.
Not yet. I saw all the lines.
Okay.
Standing there to just for people to just to see it, you know, just to see any little clip of it.
God.
It was ridiculous with Walking Dead.
All right, we'll talk about since we're talking about that. I'll mention this real quick. So, all right, so the Avengers panel happened. You know,
mm-hmm.
big whoop. Yay! People got to see, you know, all those wonderful actors talk about how awesome the movie is and show some clips that we won't see for a while.
Mm.
But that panel ran about an hour longer than it should have. Okay, I'm standing outside. No, I wasn't in that panel. I wasn't in
so
that
how
panel.
Do you know?
No, I know because I was online for the panel after them.
Oh,
so was it a 2-hour panel versus an hour panel, or an hour panel versus a 0-minute panel?
Probably an hour panel versus a 0-minute panel. But I think it ran about an hour and a half. I'm supposed to run an hour, but so I'm standing out there for the masquerade, which is what I'm waiting online for because I had a buddy who was doing a skit in it, so I wanted to take a look at it for a while. We're standing online. We're supposed to get in there at 8:00, and the staff runs down the line screaming, "It's gonna start at 10:15. 10:15. I repeat, 10:15. So we're the mass exodus of comic book and anime fans was amazing. Then another person runs down the line saying she meant 10 to 15 minutes.
Whoops.
Ian, can I say one thing?
Yeah.
I love New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
I always have a good time at New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
But if you are going to have volunteers,
mm-hmm.
they must know what the fuck they're talking about.
Amen. Yeah.
Like, when you have a creator say to me, ask me a question, because the person that they were originally asking, who was a volunteer with the t-shirt, I should know more than them.
Mm.
You shouldn't be telling them that they have to go to a panel. You should be sending them to different places.
Oh, well, did I mention that on Thursday, when people were asking, you know, where the Artist Alley is, when they were checking mm-hmm. in for their badges, they were being directed to the Anime Artist Alley?
And that's a long-ass walk.
Yeah.
Now, do they want to be treated differently from the other artists?
What,
the anime artists?
What, the anime artists? They're in their own
demands, or you know, they want to legalize something. Or...
No, the Anime Artist Alley is not Occupy Wall Street.
We
want to
legalize big eyes. We want to legalize big eyes. Stop big eye discrimination. We're just as sight capable as you.
At least this year they were upstairs as opposed to in the basement, so they actually had a nicer space than they had the year before.
Right. I think they put them out there on purpose, though.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Because all these old men who complained about these anime people getting in the way mm-hmm. last year, you know, getting hit with stuff and swords and sticks.
I thought anime people were old men.
No.
No. The old men were the ones, we were just the ones chasing the young girls.
We!
And how many times?
Anime. I'm all for the anime. I don't know any, like, I don't read much anime, but I'm all for them. Some of them chicks in them anime outfits go.
I don't read anime either.
Well, how many times have I mentioned to you, Brent, that the anime crowd is younger mostly than the comic book crowd?
I'm just making fun of you guys.
I know you're making fun of me.
I just
want
to agree that it's hard to read anime for me too.
All right. Well, that's because you're reading manga, not anime. If you're trying to read anime, then you're trying to read subtitles.
You wait till I get that Stephen Hawkins costume. You wait till for next year. I'm doing Stephen Hawking so I can chase them girls around. A little wheelchair.
Hello, or baby.
It's sitting on my lap, and I'll tell you, God does not exist. Aliens will kill us.
Except in my pants.
I can't reach my wallet. You gotta go deep. Go deep. Go deep.
I know all about physics, baby. Let me teach you.
Oh no! Don't get security. I was only playing.
There was a guy out in the hall, like leading into the dealer's room and everything, that was taking lewd photos of women and was trying to harass him.
That's nice. I didn't do it. It wasn't me this time.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm really glad to hear it.
You know what?
And there was at least one guy selling counterfeit badges out on 34th Street.
Oh, that's of course that. You know you're gonna get that.
Yeah.
Them tickets.
He was taking lewd photos of what?
Of women. Like he was harassing the cosplayers and
so he wasn't just taking photos of the naked or the half naked women?
No. There was a topless woman too.
Like I did. Oh, you with the mustache?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I gave him my number.
You would.
Don't tell me about it. Just don't tell anybody about it.
Oh God.
Yeah, it was kind of scary. You know what? Next year I'm gonna punch the first person I see, the first dude I see who probably can't get laid, that holds up a hugs are for free sign.
Ugh.
I'm going to punch him in his face.
Fucking free.
That's
hug
what I'm
signs.
Going to do. I'm going to kick him in the balls after I punch him in the face.
You know, those have been banned from most anime conventions.
They should.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should be banned, because that is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
And you know what the reasoning behind it is? Is
what?
Some people started charging, and technically that's solicitation.
What?
I'm serious. I'm serious. Some people had signs saying hugs for a dollar.
Unless she's hot. Like, men, we are the only ones that would pay a sexy chick. We would pay her to hug her. That's it. But no woman is going to pay some idiot walking around with a sign. Because if he wasn't an idiot, he wouldn't need to walk around with a sign to get a hug.
Mm-hmm.
He would get the hugs already.
That's true.
But no, this idiot is what nobody would pay for that. Yeah. No woman would pay for that.
Also, a word of advice to anybody who is taking photos of any cosplayer, whether it be a man or a female on the floor, okay? Mm-hmm. After you take the photo, say thank you. It's polite.
I thought you were going to say ask their age so you don't put them on the internet on a weird site.
Oh, dear.
Well, you know, I will have to say this because I've seen this a couple of times. If you get dressed up, people are going to want to take your picture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. I saw this happen about five other people where the guy took the picture, didn't say anything, but he didn't get up close. He just stood to the side, took the picture, mm-hmm. and the comment was, "You could have asked me." Listen, we are at the Comic-Con. You dressed up to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get pictures taken. So why are you acting stank because he didn't want to have a conversation about you with you or ask you to take a picture? You dressed up. It wasn't like you in a regular costume. You can't be dressed as Wonder Woman and get upset that somebody would at a Comic-Con and get upset because somebody wants to take your picture.
But it's still common courtesy to at least, even if you're not asking, say thank you at the end.
It is, but still, you're at a Comic-Con. Everybody's not going to ask, are going to say that, and it's 5 million people there.
I know.
This is not a new phenomenon, so people are just
set expectations.
Yeah, there's
set expectations.
There's set expectations, and there's also, I was raised to say thank you for shit.
Right, you were. Most of us were,
yeah,
but a lot.
The last few.
So wasting time getting angry, because I saw the actual anger. I'm like, and you know what? Mm-hmm. Life is too short.
Yeah.
If you're going to come to the Comic-Con, dress like you are,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a character, I don't understand. Yeah, like I don't understand how you're going to get upset because a little nerdy dude wants to take
a little picture. Spunky 5-year-old, you slut. Spunky 5-year-old Spider-Man, such a slut.
I'm just not understanding. That's like going to a club and having a low cut dress on, and then getting upset when a guy asks you to dance.
That's it. I'm having open auditions for a new co-host. That's it.
What, you're gonna replace Daryl?
I did see a Robin that I had so many pedophile jokes for that because he wore the shorts. He wore the Robin shorts. Robin shorts, and he's walking around doing the poses, but he's doing it in a serious manner.
What's everybody looking at?
Right, like, and I'm saying, all I want to do is dress up like a Catholic priest and just come up behind him and say hi.
Well, actually, two of the best cosplays I saw on the floor was one guy who created his own Orange Lantern Kyle Rayner outfit.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, no, there's a photo of it on my Facebook if you want to take a look.
I got to check that out.
Yeah, but no, because, you know, Kyle never dresses as an Orange Lantern in the book, so he just...
Right.
Figured out what he thought it would look like, and he had like an entire two, like all 10 fingers had orange rings on them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's awesome. Like I the cosplaying stuff, I could never understand getting dressed up in that stuff because it's hot,
mm-hmm.
and it's just too much work. But they do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because when you go in the bathroom, there were people's belts were on the floor.
Yeah.
People left pants on. Like it's just too much work to be dressing up like that. But I applaud anybody that does that.
And
that
Ziggo. Ziggo did
it. Yeah, Ziggo does great. The costuming he does every year, he switches up. He did, what, four different costumes this year?
I think he did four. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did four. I saw him dressed as Green Goblin.
Mm-hmm. Which was really, really, really good.
That was really good. He was Blue Lantern Kyle Rayner on Sunday.
Another good one, yeah.
Yeah, and I forget what he was on Friday.
What was he?
From the Misfits.
Right, that's what he was. That was the one I didn't know who that was.
Nightcrawler, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah,
Thursday was Misfits, Friday was X-Force Nightcrawler.
Right.
Saturday was Green Goblin, Sunday was Kyle Rayner.
Yeah, I'm all, like, you do that, I'm all, you go for it. Like, I commend people that could do that, even if they're fat,
mm-hmm.
like me, and they get into a costume. I will ask that the men who wear body stockings to please put on a cup or something, because I don't want your package to be coming out when you're, you know, flying over. Because there was Superman in white. There was a all-in-white Superman.
Uh-huh.
And you could see him coming.
Oh, boy.
A mile away.
Yeah, you could see him coming, all right.
And you're embarrassed, like, you actually, with some of the people were embarrassed.
Oh, dear.
Like, you could put a cup on that. You know, you don't have to put the business out like that. But other than that, I'm like, if you can do that and stand it, like, and not be embarrassed or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I'm all for it.
It's so much easier to dress as Superman now too. If you want to dress like Action Comics number one Superman, just wear jeans, mm-hmm. a Superman t-shirt, and a small little cape, and bam, oh, yeah. You're Superman.
Oh yeah, I saw that a lot.
Yeah,
that was there a lot. A lot of Star Soft Sapphires. There mm-hmm. was a lot. I mean, it was just. It was so packed, though. It was just ridiculous yeah. How many people came to the con.
Yeah, no, it was nuts. It was nuts, man. It was crazy, and we had good foot traffic where we were too, in Podcast Arena. We were in the Artist Alley, like all the way over in the corner. So like basically, when people had to leave the Artist Alley, they were forced to go by us.
It was so crowded; they had no choice but to walk all over because you needed to go somewhere because you couldn't just stand in one spot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Brent, there was also actually one person the entire con, but there was one person who came up to us and said, I'm a big fan of Comic Diming.
Oh, they didn't ask for me?
No, they didn't ask for you, but...
Oh,
but
well,
they,
I don't
care. But I did... Fuck you, man.
Just kidding.
he specifically said he's a big fan of Comic Diming. I'm like, well, thank you. I'll make sure to tell Brent that on the next episode. So I'm telling him that right now in the episode, and he just said that he doesn't care about you. So to the fan... I'm sorry that you're no longer a fan because Brent doesn't like you.
Well, we got like 20 listeners anyway, so.
Oh, yeah. What? Come on. We got at least a couple hundred. We got more listeners than Raph, and that's all we need.
Hey, okay. We're on top of the world then.
Raph downloads a lot. Like, he goes back and just re-downloads a lot of shows
that's
to
true.
Everybody. He loves to give people numbers. So he's. Thank you, Raph.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
You're a hero.
Does he listen?
Raph doesn't know. He doesn't listen.
Does Raph ever listen?
I mean, because he'd really. Have to stay in one spot. Raph is all over the place. Yeah. He can't stay in one spot long enough.
This is what Raph gets for going grocery shopping instead of coming on the show. Is we?
I can't even see him at a grocery store. I can see like running. I can see him just running around the store.
Christmas, cookie puffs, M&M's, Raph Radio, look out! Marshmallows, Coke Zero, Vanilla Coke, oranges, marshmallows again.
And then say, forget it, I don't want it.
All right, I am specifically, I am clipping this out of the show at some point and using that as a bumper for the show.
You have to.
Here's the type of things you hear on Comic Timing. Coke Zero.
But yeah, there was so much traffic that you really, wherever you sat at,
mm-hmm.
you pretty much got a lot of people to go.
Oh yeah, and major props, major props to. Hold on, let me say this first, and then
okay,
you can make
major
your comments. Yeah, major props to the Audio Shocker guys for helping out. They were stationed next to us in Podcast Arena, and they watched my shit whenever I wasn't around. So thank you for that. Major props to Umar for buying all my bad DVDs. Because, I mean, really, like, I didn't think anybody was going to buy the Tom Cruise edition of War of the Worlds, and yet Umar did. So,
you did? You sold that?
I sold that, man.
He must have been drunk.
Veronica Mars Season 3, he bought. He bought, let's see, what else did he bought? My buddy Brian bought Van Helsing. I sold almost all my DVDs that weekend, and major props to that. And the guys who were stationed next to us, whose names obviously escape me right now because God forbid I remember any names, but Pat Wojcicki didn't have his stuff set up, so he wound up getting a couple artists to fill his spot, and they were very, very nice people and helped out all weekend. So please make the comment you were going to make now.
Do you think Umar will buy my Backyard Girls of Backyard Wrestling DVD?
He might.
Sure. I'll buy it.
It's very possible.
Tell me what is that.
Yeah, no.
Is there nudity?
Oh, yeah, that's all that's in it. All
right.
I just discovered there was real porn out there, and I don't need it anymore.
You tell me it's a lesbian in it, and I'm all for it, because I love lesbians.
There's some whipped cream and bananas. It's bananas.
I'm so there.
Whipped cream and bananas.
Whipped cream and bananas. But there's better stuff for free on the web, so I'm just like, you know.
Well, I know. You check my bookmarks, you'd be amazed.
This is what we've come to here, whipped cream and bananas.
Oh, so what I was going to originally ask before the lewd comment.
Yeah.
So you were there the entire weekend and you got only one person to come to the table?
No. That's the one guy who knew the show ahead of time, dude.
All right.
okay.
Yeah, no, because I mean, our listenership is varied. It's all over the place. So, yeah, no, there were a bunch of people that stopped by, and I mean, I got tons of interviews too that'll be interspersed in this episode. And got a really nice Dave Peterson interview that was about 20 minutes long.
There's not enough women listening to Comic Timing. There's just not enough women representation.
And they're not in the middle.
It's true, yeah. Man. It's absolutely
it's just
true.
Not enough.
Yeah, no, not enough. We need more women listening.
You need more women listening, yeah.
All I need to do is get Chris on more regularly so we'll have a female voice. And that's all it'll take. Ben Christian and Corey Smith, by the way, were the two guys I was thinking of that were set up. They're actually the guys who Brent. Did you see when it was posted a couple months back the Marvel team up with Deadpool and Charlie Sheen?
Mm-hmm.
Like the one sheet that Bleeding Cool ran.
I think not.
Okay, because they're the guys that did that. So in their own words, they had like a week of internet celebrity, and then everybody forgot about it.
Oh.
Let me see if I can bring it up here. Let's see, Charlie Sheen, Deadpool. Yeah, here we go. Charlie Sheen makes final comics appearance in fan-made Marvel team-up. So I will shoot you the link to this, and you guys can check it out after the episode.
Cool.
I'll have it in the in the show notes. But yeah, no, Charlie Sheen and Deadpool are like a match made in heaven, since one of them is slightly crazier than the other. I'm not sure which one it is. So I think that's kind of it. We're at a minute 38 right now. Sorry, an hour 38. If we're only talking for a minute 38, that'd be probably the shortest episode in the history of comics right there. Well, welcome to the podcast. Well, thanks for joining us for the podcast. Any final thoughts on the con that you want to hit up, Daryl?
I just had a good time. I just wish for next year that they would properly educate their volunteers in things, and that would make it go a lot smoother.
Not to say that there weren't some volunteers that knew what they were doing.
No, I'm pretty sure there were, but with the ones that don't make it harder.
I agree.
For the ones that do, and I know there are plenty of volunteers who work hard and don't get paid, and they do this and they help out and they deal with people treating them like like crap, because I know it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there are some that they have to, like, you have to know where stuff is. Yes. Like, if you're going to volunteer, you have to be able to tell people where they need to go, especially if they're creators or you're costing somebody, money. If it's somebody looking for an artist, trying to get a sketch or something, and you can't, tell them where the right place to go, you're costing somebody money.
Yeah.
When you do that. So that's the only thing complaint. Because being crowded is just the way it's going to be.
Yep.
And I'd rather it be crowded than no one care about comics at the Comic-Con. I'd rather that be the case.
Yeah. My complaints are similar to that, actually. That on Thursday, things weren't set up as much as they should have been. And I understand that it was preview day. So, that there were a bunch of booths that still getting set up and everything. But they didn't have the black backing that we usually have for the podcast arena, the black curtain up. So I went and put my sign on my table, and then by Friday the black curtain was up, and I didn't have any more ties left, so I couldn't change it. So we were stuck with that for the weekend, which, minor gripe. The thing that concerned me was that they didn't have a list for Artist Alley available on the floor until Friday.
Right.
So no one knew where anybody was. There were no aisle markers, nothing like that. No one knew what was going on, and that was a problem. That was a problem. That's something that hopefully they'll be able to fix for next year. But at least they had it by Friday.
Right.
Yeah. But other than that, it was a great con. It was very well organized, mostly. And other than a few snags here and there, I'm sure as hell looking forward to 2012. Probably be as big, possibly even bigger. Oh. The other thing I wanted to mention, too, is that I liked the fact that they had the kids' stuff and the autographs in the new Javits North.
Oh, yeah.
That place...
Oh, my God. Oh. It was a sea of beauty because it had air conditioning.
Yep.
And it was open and not crowded. Me and Donnie saw it. We found it by accident.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to leave.
Yeah. No, dude, seriously, Brent, if you're ever in the Javits Center... go pee in Javits North. Like, walk all the way down to there, okay? Oh. Because they have bathrooms, like, every other 2 feet
at
Javits North. It's amazing. Because in regular Javits, you're literally, like, walking all the way across the hall to get to it. And then you go in there, and it's all skeevy. All of these are well-kept bathrooms because no one knows they're there. So remember that, Brent. If for some reason you're ever at New York Comic Con, like you said you were going to eventually.
Yeah, you got to show up, Brent.
If for some reason...
If for some reason. Come on, man.
Maybe we'll get, you know, more people to the booth the next time when I show up. We'll make a big deal about it.
Yeah, you're damn right.
Frank Cassina's coming to New York Comic Con. We'll create ads and put them on the most listened to networks like, you know, CGS and around Contour where they're not around anymore. anyway, the next biggest podcast will put up ads saying, Frank Cassina, New York Comic Con 2020. You know,
2020.
Make a big deal about it. Make a big deal about it. It'll be good.
I am not waiting 9 years, okay, for you to show up to New York Comic Con.
Oh. Wow.
I am not waiting 9 years. That's all I'm saying.
What about the 10th anniversary special?
All right, maybe. Seriously though, make it to New York, goddammit.
You gotta come.
Whether it be New York Comic Con or whether it just be going to New York, for Christ's sake, let's sleep on our couch.
I know.
Yeah. Or you can get an actual hotel room with you.
Probably do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd probably be better.
We're allowed.
Yeah, just saying.
We're allowed Floridians, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Because really, when I think of loud, I think of Florida.
Yeah.
You know,
we got all the crazy people, so.
Not my neighbors screaming about how they're going back to jail.
Dude, I got some crazy neighbor stories for you. Oh my goodness.
Yo, seriously, yesterday I wake up and that's exactly what I hear. I hear one of my neighbors screaming, look, whether you like it or not, I'm going back to jail.
Wow.
Warren Evers was so humble. It's, there's no place like home, man.
Sure is.
Oh, dear. So, Daryl, you want to pimp your 847 podcasts?
You can go to thetaylornetwork.wordpress.com and you can see all the podcasts, basically, that I'm on. But in addition to No Apologies, Comic Book Roadshow, which we got a lot of interviews coming up, and Nothing's On. Yeah, I Said It is for the children, so you can play that for all the kids. Because we teach the kids about life.
Really?
Yes. Like how you dress like Robin, you don't go to prisons and stuff because you won't come out of it alive. So anyway, stuff like that. We teach kids survival skills. And also listen to DC Noise on the Comic Book Noise Network and The Fixer's Hideout. We put out a New York Comic Con episode already. You know, just talking about what we're going to do, which is pretty funny.
Well,
and
if I can make it there on Sunday to record about NYCC, I will. But I'll see what's going on.
Oh yeah, weekend. You didn't show up.
No, I didn't show up. I had a cold. Damn it.
Oh, you had a little. It's a bitty cold, huh?
Yes, I had the sniffles.
Oh.
You're doing a show with JK now, aren't you?
Yeah, it's on the No Apologies feed. It's called Happy Hour, where we record out of the bar, which is fun.
Nice.
So you guys, like, go at a round table and name what drinks you're drinking?
No.
And, like, you know, make fun of Black and Tan and stuff?
No, we just usually drink a lot of beer, so... but we do discuss, like, comics and stuff we read and whatnot. We're usually very drunk.
He was making an 11 o'clock comics crack.
Oh! No, we don't do that. We can't do that. That's 11 o'clock. We can't do what they do.
I'm just checking.
Welcome to 9 o'clock comics.
Well, we were going to name ourselves 10:30.
Nice.
But we stopped ourselves because we didn't want to get hurt.
What day do you usually record? Friday, right?
Yeah, we usually record like every other Friday.
Okay, all right. Maybe next week if I don't have anything doing, I'll hop over to the bar.
You're more than welcome. Happy hour is a good time. The beer is cheap.
They got good food?
Oh, that's just they do. All types of food, which
is
good.
Nice, very good, very good.
And once again, we are sponsored by DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service. Check them out at dcbservice.com. Our review corner picks for the month are Defenders number 1, 50% off for $1.99, the new book Stemming Out of Fear Itself by Matt Fraction. Ray number 1, also 50% off of $2.99 this time. That is Justin Gray and Jimmy Palmiotti and Jamal Igel, also on covers. So it's not used to that. So Jamal gets to do the cover and the art on this book, so that should be pretty damn sweet. And Memorial number 1 by Chris Robertson and Rich Ellis out of IDW is our indie pick, and that one is also 50% off of $3.99 for $1.99. And make sure to use the promo code CT8 when you check out on your first order to get an additional 8% off on that order. DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service. Check them out, dcbservice.com. You know we love them, and we thank them. All right, all good, all good. And Brent, we could find you on these airways.
Yep. One of these days, I'm going to do a digital comics versus real comics comparison.
Okay.
I just have to have a real comic since I'm out of the country. So it'll probably happen when I get back. So sometime in November.
Okay.
Expect it.
You know what you should do one of these days, actually? You should just have, like, an Ian-less episode. You know?
An Ian-less episode.
Yeah, like actually have other people on talking comics with you.
I can have other people on?
You can have other people on. You're allowed.
Oh.
You're allowed.
Man, I don't know.
I give you permission.
Okay.
It's your show too, man. I mean, at this point, we've been doing it long enough where you're...
Yeah,
I just,
Brent,
I just
you
didn't
survived.
Know if I did it with another person that you would get mad and kick me off the show, and then we'd have some really bad, like, legal problems about who owns what portion of the show, or, you know, you get even episodes, I get odd episodes...
You do like
just,
a behind
just
the music.
I to avoid all that.
In the divorce, I get. Yeah. Wait, what was that?
I didn't want to be. You know, Brent who or that other guy or whatever. You know, mentioned like that.
No, I'll just bring on a replacement Brent. That's it. And the co-host, not co-host, co-host Brent Smith.
But see that what I would argue to own.
That's true.
Because that's me.
Man,
I'm just, you know,
arguing like the Kirby estate.
Here.
All right.
Exactly.
That means it'll never end. All right.
I can't split up with you yet, Brent. After all, your parents stole me at dinner.
Well, you gotta come back to Florida.
I will. I'm planning on it. Maybe not this year, but next year.
All right.
And yeah, that's pretty much it here. I'm gonna intersperse the interviews from New York Comic Con. In this episode, or they'll be separate. I'll decide once I'm editing this what it is, because after all, if I do put the interviews in, then I'll have Daryl on a Daryl episode, which would be kind of weird, but but we'll see about that. Either way, this is episode 126, and coming up soon, once The Ray comes out, we will definitely be having Jamal Igel on to talk The Ray.
Yeah, he just got back from Costa Rica and he killed like what 12 drug dealers out there,
something like that.
he rode down there and took out a whole cartel.
Was it really Costa Rica? I thought it was somewhere else.
Well, the story changes every time I mention it. It'll be somewhere else.
Gotcha. Yeah, because yeah. wasn't it like Malaysia or something like that?
Well, yeah, he took out that cartel over there too, but that was during Baltimore.
Gotcha.
This is what he does.
Understandable. Yeah. And
can you get mad if I get that digitally rather than up his pre-order numbers?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I think he'll be mad if you illegally download it.
Oh
yeah,
no,
that
I'm
could
get
be
it digitally.
A problem.
Okay, good. All right, then you're good to go. Yeah, and eventually we'll have Morpheus Wade on because we've been meaning to have him on for a while now.
Oh yeah, he's fun
in a non-super show setting, and yeah, you know, there'll be episodes to come. So at least two episodes in the pipeline. Yeah, fuck it, I'm gonna split the interviews off. So this will just be the conversation
about
the
DC episode too.
Oh yeah, and eventually we will have a conversation about the New 52. Although
hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yes, hopefully sooner rather than later. But first, we need to find out what day everybody can do it, because you know Brent is sipping his wine in France until November. In France, vive la France.
I live such a hard life.
Really, such a hard life.
When it's tough.
Yeah, it's a hard knock life for us, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right, so that's it. So the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at thecomicforums.com. Graciously hosted by Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/comictiming. And remember the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. And don't forget, our easy-to-remember website is comictiming.net. You no longer have to remember a tongue twister to get to Comic Timing. It'll just redirect you to the Speak Geek Speak URL. So for Brent Cassina in France land, and for Daryl Taylor in New York land, I mean, let's see, reminding everybody out there that there's always time for comics.
I ain't going back to jail.
Nice. dude. So you just sent me a link for the crying couple?
The crazy neighbors.
Oh, dear Lord.
Basically, these are the people that live underneath us. Mm-hmm. And they yell and fight, and I've called the cops on them at least twice. Oh, and awesome. We almost did it this time, but the cops showed up as I was on the phone with them.
We almost called the cops on our next-door neighbors, because one time Chris was sitting here and heard... what sounded like a slap, and then that's what happens.
See, I just call.
Yeah,
because they're making my life hell, because I have to listen to it, and I'm gonna get the police all up in your ass. I'm sorry if I'm a tattletale. I want to live in peace.
Fuck the police.
Exactly.
Yo, you know what I'm happy about?
If they want to mouth off and get arrested and not move back in, that's awesome with me.
There you go.
They can talk back to the police.
All right. I'm happy about two things, okay? One, French Stewart is going to be on Community. Hell yeah. That's going to be awesome. Number two, Charlie's Angels got canceled. Booyah.
I didn't even get to watch the first episode
of what Charlie's.
I loved it. You turned the sound off and you just watched it with one.
What about the Playboy Club? I was enjoying that.
Yeah, Playboy Club.
It had no nudity.
I like Pan Am. Pan Am's good, but I'm not watching Playboy Club.
If they put some spy stuff in it where they fight crime, mm-hmm. I would watch it more. I would get into Pan Am.
Yeah.
Maybe if they cross Charlie's Angels with Pan Am, you'd have a good show.
Yeah. All right. We'll see.
I'll
get on the line with the producers and see what they have to say.
Yeah, work that
out. Use your Jewish influence.
How,
do it.
As the Larry King of podcasting,
Since you guys own Hollywood.
Great, we own the Diamond District and Hollywood. That's terrific.
I thought you owned Hollywood. I don't know.
We haven't owned Hollywood in a while, man. It changes every year as to who owns Hollywood.
So yeah. Who owns the music company?
The Jews.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just check it. I didn't know.
The Jews!
That is Jay-Z.
The Jews are coming! So...
Christ. See, we managed to do an episode about New York Comic Con where we didn't alienate you, Brent. Isn't that great?
That's awesome.
I'm glad. Really glad. I'm glad that you're glad that we're glad.
I'm glad. I'm glad too.
Yeah, because
I don't feel like there was any big news to come out of it though.
This
one in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Didn't feel like there was anything huge.
Avengers. That's news.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Avengers book. Woohoo!
It's Avengers.
The same as the other two.
Everything awesome. Avengers. That's all we need to worry about out of Marvel right now is Avengers, and a little bit of Hulk. Yeah.
That's why I made all that. You know, I didn't want to have a nasty divorce over who gets to own co-host, not co-host, co-host.
Yeah. Right. Hey, at least I stopped saying that. All right. At least we
just dump the
stump.
You know.
Welcome to Stump the Casino.
Yeah, everyone's scared to mention Brent's name when you have people on the show. You can't mention the name.
Justin Palmiotti and Jimmy Gray. Do they?
Here it comes! Here it is! Ah! Look out! Marshmallows! Coke Zero! Vanilla Coke! Oranges! Marshmallows! Again!